Blog Talk Radio.
Today I wanted to talk a little bit about drugs, all the different drugs that are out there, and maybe you can give some advice on how to do some of these drugs, maybe or not to do them. I would include in that gimmicks like steroids, and I call them gimmicks because that's the term of art in pro wrestling. They call them gimmicks, but. What do you recommend in terms of drugs or not recommend?
Well, I don't know if I recommend drugs to people at all.
Do you not? Would you if a kid's out there listening, would you agree with the don't do drugs?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's your choice, of course, but you know you have to understand that there's always consequences to these things.
Are you a libertarian with regard to drug policy?
What's that?
Are you a libertarian with regard to drug policy?
No.
Do you think they should be outlawed?
Outlawed is perhaps too strong a word. I don't think that the libertarian position, which I consider to be stupid, is that all drugs should be legal across the board.
Right.
I guess that what they mean is no drugs should be illegal. There's a difference between all drugs should be legal and no drugs should be illegal. I think that's what they say. No drugs should be illegal. And, you know, my position is the government sometimes does have an obligation to step in and protect people. Well, not necessarily to protect people from themselves, but to protect society from people who don't know how to protect themselves from themselves.
Right. So, like, certain really hardcore, like, crank, maybe, or something like that.
By crank, do you mean crystal methamphetamine?
Yeah.
I actually don't think that's such a terrible drug.
Oh. So tell me, have you tried this drug?
Yes, it's been known to have been tried.
and you're saying that it's not as bad as is being portrayed? Because, I mean, it's getting a pretty bad rap.
I think that addiction to it is bad, and it's a drug that can definitely cause dependence. But it's Desoxin, which is the prescription equivalent of it, has been around for, easily 50, 60 years, and it's probably done a lot of good.
In what sense? Who has it done good for?
Well, it's kept people away.
It's what?
It's kept people away.
How so?
By keeping them awake.
I'm sorry. I thought you said away.
It's also like pretty ace for weight loss. In fact, it used to be prescribed very widely for weight loss. The lab version, like which is usually a powder or rock or shards or whatever, it's depending on how it's made. I mean, there's versions made that are full of impurities that I wouldn't recommend, but there's versions out there that are like pretty good. And if you want to like just kind of stay at a certain level, I don't really see any problem with it. You look at a guy like Lemmy, and he's been doing crystal for, you know, 45, 50 years, you know.
And in what form does he snort it, or?
Well, I don't hang out with Lemmy. I did talk to him once, but I never talked to him about crank. I imagine he snorts it.
Is he? Now this crystal is. What does it have to do with like crystal meth? Is that's just a different version of it?
No, crystal meth is crystal meth. Methamphetamine, methadrine, desoxin. Desoxin is the prescription pill version of it. Ice, which is like what people get and smoke sometimes.
What about bath salts?
Well, bath salts, you don't even know what's in bath salts. Bath salts aren't a specific drug. It's just like whatever some Chinese gentlemen throw together in their fucking, in the privacy of their privies.
You've tried MDMA. How is that related?
You mean ecstasy?
Yeah.
Yeah, ecstasy's, it's an amphetamine. And I have tried it. It can tend to have like real strong psychoactive effects, like not quite like LSD, but you know, a lot of people like it. I'm not really a big fan. I think it's okay.
You think it's harmful?
It is. Well, it's not a question of whether or not I think it's harmful. It causes brain lesions when used to excess.
Wow. So how do you pure MDMA causes brain lesions?
Yes, and most of the shit out there isn't exactly very pure.
Well, now it looks like ecstasy has gone by the wayside. It's been replaced by Molly.
Molly, yeah. Molly is shit.
It usually is.
No, it is shit. Molly is shit. And again, it's not necessarily a specific compound. It's something that some gentlemen from dubious foreign countries throw together in their bathrooms.
Right. And it looks like, when you look at it, it looks like some crystals inside of a capsule usually. And it looks a lot
I've done it as straight crystals. I've just snorted it.
Okay, or you can eat it actually. When you look at it, it looks like crystal meth, kind of. I it's weird because you look around and that's all you find. You don't really find the pills anymore.
The last pills I found, like, I guess I'd been keeping them in my freezer for a while, and I found some, and I did some with a friend a couple of years ago.
It can be a fun time if you don't use it to excess. It has diminishing return if you use it a lot. After a while, it's like almost like nothing.
It's nothing that I ever really got into. I mean, I did it, but, you know.
Shrinks up the dick a little.
That's the amphetamine effect, and that never really affected me, but I've heard friends of mine talk about it. Like, your dick, like, gets kind of harder, but it's shriveled, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't experienced this.
It also, like, for some reason, makes you, like, want to piss a lot, But then people who say that when you take it that you should not piss so much, so you don't piss it right out. But anyway, it's there's that, and then there's acid. Have you done a certain amount of acid?
Yeah. You could say that I've done a certain amount of acid. Yeah.
Because do you think acid is just some kind of mind numbing agent, or does it help you to formulate certain thoughts?
Well, you have to be able to think for it to help you formulate certain thoughts. Most people can't think. Most people confuse thinking with feeling, to paraphrase Thomas Sowell.
So what do you think what do you think it's offered to you as somebody who can think? What has it done for you that's a positive?
Oh, you know, well, I mean, it's fun for one thing.
You've had some profound thoughts?
Yeah, you kind of sometimes realize your relationship to the universe. I guess that's kind of what it's good for, is understanding, you know, like where you are in the cosmic scheme of things.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like you can think on all these different levels that maybe you didn't ponder when you're sober. It gives you a unique kind of perspective on everything. Sometimes that can be clarifying, but I think to a lot of people it can also be very frightening and maybe lead to psychotic episodes.
Well, I think the people who you know have. Who even suspect that they might have a mental illness probably should not take it. Back in the day, like even within my lifetime, it was given to people by psychiatrists who help with depression and certain types of mental illness under very clinical supervision, and it apparently had very good results.
Well, I know when I took it about 10 years ago, it really it led me to quit smoking for like a couple of years, because I kind of got a perspective on the smoking that just made me horrified by it. So I mean, it can have those kind of help to deal with habits. It just gives you kind of a different corner to look from your life on. When you took it though the first time, was that the most intense for you?
No.
So it depends on the strength of the acid that you took?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, I think if you can find it, a hit is not going to be like what used to be the industry standard when I started taking it, which was 250 micrograms. I think you're probably more likely to get like 100 micrograms or maybe even 50, which would still be fine if it were like, you know, of exceptional purity, but most of the stuff that's out there, the guys who are making it don't have or don't know how to use a gas chromatography column. So you wind up with a lot of lysergic acid amides in your final product, and it winds up, you know, it's not really a good drug, most of what's out there. The stuff that we used to get that's still around if you, like, you know, are connected, and so I hear.
Well, it's in the rave scene. It's gone to, that's really where it's at.
Honestly, the kids who take it who are ravers don't even, I know the acid they get. I know the guy who makes it. Well, I know his son anyway. And it's like, it's shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've tried a little bit of it. It kind of just gives you a nervous feeling. It doesn't, like, none of the visuals are there. It's just,
yeah, not LSD.
Yeah, yeah. And that whole scene, I mean, I think it's a wretched scene, the rave scene. Have you ever checked it out?
Have I ever, like, been to a rave? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, not everybody has.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been to like, private parties where there were a bunch of people rolling and, like, a big sound system and stuff. Does that count as a rave?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just, like, the music that's played, at least these days, it's just, like, all this drum and bass stuff that...
Yeah, it's shitty house, yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's really just not good. I mean, there is good house.
Yeah, no, this is shitty house, what these kids listen to.
Yeah, really bad stuff, just thrown together stuff, really loud, hurts your ears after a while. And everybody's, like, so shallow and clueless, there's really, like, it's a real turnoff, I thought. But I guess it's an increasingly younger crowd of people, but it's just always annoyed me to no end. But it just seemed like, you know, that's where all the drugs, or that these kind of psychoactive drugs have sort of congregated. I don't see it big in the rock scene anymore. I mean, the Grateful Dead used to have a big, you know, acid part of it.
Well, that would be when you would, like, if you didn't have a regular connection, that would be when you would go out looking for LSD, was when the Grateful Dead was in town.
Yeah, you'd definitely find it, or mushrooms or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen, I mean, have you ever been or noticed somebody take that stuff, take mushrooms, take acid, and never be the same again? Because I have. Like,
well, not really, but I've met people who were kind of odd, and then other people, mutual friends, have said, he's been that way ever since, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. You know, I really don't know.
Yeah, I know a guy who, like, he took some shrooms, and, man, he went from, like, he ended up, like, having to go back and forth to the mental institution for years, and I don't think he ever recovered. Like you said, if you have a mental issue, but some people you don't know until you take it that you did. It can often be a good way to find out, although maybe not such a good way, but a way, nonetheless, to find out that you have a mental condition.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe you never would have had the problem, though, with it, or the symptoms would have never presented themselves. Now, have you ever, regardless, I mean, aside from drugs, I mean, have you ever met somebody that went nuts? Like, and it usually happens around the early to mid-20s.
Oh, have I ever met someone who was schizophrenic?
Or didn't show signs of it until they're, like, you know, fully adult?
You're asking me if I've ever known anyone who experienced late-onset schizophrenia.
Right. Oh, because it seems to be... Now, I don't know if it's more prevalent or less or whatever, but there seems to be a lot of... It hits people, at least when and it is late, it hits them in their 20s.
No, it's usually in their 40s if it's late onset.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Late teens, early 20s is the normal time.
I see. And then the late one is the in their 40s. So, well, I was thinking that it was late to be in your 20s, but I guess that's early. Yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting... I mean, what do you think's going on with people that have schizophrenia? Or I mean, do you have any idea? Do we have any idea? As like
There's a what's a good way of putting it? Their personality is shattered. There are a lot of positive chemical reasons for this. We don't know exactly what happens, but there are chemical reasons for it.
And then there's bipolar,
bipolar, I mean, that's a mood disorder. That's people are like, whoa. Because ever since, like, the mid-90s, people are like, I'm mentally ill. You know, it's, like, kind of a fun thing to be, you know. It's like people are, it's like, you know, it's like the new being black, you know. It's like, I was black yesterday. Now I'm mentally ill because it's trendier.
Or it's like I've been molested.
Yeah, I've been molested. I'm a fag. the trendy stuff, the stuff that, you know, like people tell you is like really cool to be. Like it's cool to be a homosexual. You know, so then people decide like, okay, I'm going to be a homosexual for a while. You know,
I never understood that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it can be advantageous if you're going to be, like, you know, in the Navy or in jail. I've been in both places, but I've been in both places, by the way, and I've never, like, turned, like, homoerotic. I've never been like, hey, dude, I was thinking of your hairy balls. You know?
it's always odd. I mean, that's why. I mean, some people say it's a choice. What is your feeling on it? Do you think that it's a choice to be gay?
I think a lot of people decide that they're going to be gay. I think also a lot of people are just born absolutely fucking gay. I think they're different things. Sometimes there's overlap. Sometimes there's not. I don't think that you can, like, narrow it down to, like, one given thing. I remember when they first came out with the finding that, like, gay people are born gay, a lot of gay people were really upset by this because they felt, and not just gay people, but people on like the liberal side of the ideological line were upset by it because they're like, well, does that mean that like at some point people can find out if their kid is going to be gay and then abort it? Should we be against abortion? Oh my God, I'm so confused. You know, because like gay is a good thing, abortion is a great thing, but should we abort gay people? So that, you know, people were getting very confused by this. But I think there's been like a little more light thrown on it. I think most scientists agree. Yeah, there's some genetic component to being gay, but there's also a psychological component. And gay friends of mine have pointed, actually every gay male I've ever known, not lesbian, but gay male that I've ever known has said that they felt, actually one guy told me that he turned gay, but the rest of them all said, I've always been gay in kind of my orientation, but I did have a very domineering mother and an absent father or weak father figure. And they would all say, and also every gay guy I know is like that. But that's anecdotal, so take it for what it's worth, which is nothing. But I do think, yeah, some people are born homosexual. Some people are born with the tendency to be homosexual and they choose not to be. Some people are born homosexual and then they decide after being homosexual that they've chosen not to be. And I think some people are born not particularly gay, and at some point in their lives, they're like, you know what? I kind of want to fuck some hairy dude's ass. Or I can't wait to suck a dick.
Yeah, well,
Wait. Not that there's anything wrong with any of these things. I'm not suggesting that there is. It's like, dude, if you want to suck a dick, go do it by all means. I'm totally on your side. I mean, I think that whatever people do, so long as everybody involved is cool with it. I mean, you know, unless you're like, you know, banging a donkey or something like that, you know, in which case you're fucking evil and I'll kill you.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because when people say, you know, that it is a choice, that some people insist that it is a choice of some level, then it makes me think, like, does that person believe that being heterosexual was a choice for everyone and that everyone went to, like, a crossroads and they decided? I mean,
you realize the problem with that analogy, do you not?
No.
You're assuming the absence of a norm.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm also thinking that, you know, heterosexuality is probably an innate quality.
Of course heterosexuality is innate. Do you know why?
Because of the procreation?
No. Because it's a norm. It's the norm.
So that leads people to choose that more, is what you're saying?
No. I'm not saying that heterosexuality is a choice, except for some homosexuals who decide that they would like very much to be heterosexual.
Okay.
I'm not saying that heterosexuality is a choice. I'm saying that most people, and by most, I mean in this instance, the vast majority of people, like, you know, 95% of people, are born heterosexual. And they're born heterosexual because that's the fucking norm. And it's the norm because they're born heterosexual, most people. And without it, we wouldn't have a human race. I mean, we just have, like, a bunch of Greeks running around for one generation, and everyone would be dead. Everyone would walk around acting like Russell Brand, and then we would die out.
So anyway, we have that issue. Now, it's interesting because I think people want to say that you're born gay because they want it to be an immutable characteristic for legal purposes, right?
They want it to be a what characteristic for legal purposes?
Immutable.
Immutable. Well,
like race.
I don't know if any characteristic is immutable. I think you can totally be born straight and decide, I'm totally going to take cocks up my ass.
Well, I know. I'm just saying that those characteristics are usually afforded constitutional protection, and that if they're deemed to be innate or something that are not.
Oh, you mean like people don't choose to be black or female?
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
I don't think that choice is really part of the issue on the legal basis there. I don't think that's. I don't think anyone's ever said.
Well, what is the issue then?
I don't think. Let me just tell you what the issue probably isn't. I've never seen or heard the argument that that protected groups. I think can agree on what protected groups are because it's like it's stated in various places legally.
Yeah.
Protected groups, no one's saying they're protected because they can't help what they are. That's kind of bizarre. And also, a protected group is a religion, or a religion is a protected group. You kind of can't ever say that that's an immutable quality.
Right,
You might be born a Jew, but you can decide that you want to be a fucking Muslim. The only thing that you can't do is, like, become a Hindu, because to be a Hindu, you have to be born a Hindu.
Well, I mean, it is one of the criteria that the Supreme Court has cited when they're trying to give federal classification strict scrutiny.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Again, religion is a protected group. People are not born. I mean, you might be born into a Christian family, but you're not born Christian. You can be born Jewish because Jewish is not just a religion; it's an ethnicity as well. Ask any Jew who doesn't go to temple, and he'll tell you. He'll say, "I'm a Jew, but I don't go to temple. I don't even believe in God, but I still hate Jesus." Kidding. I'm kidding, Jews. I'm kidding.
Well, of course, yeah. Religion is not one, of course, but. They have put some of the criteria in one of their I'm looking it up here on Wikipedia. It says here that they have like some criteria to put them under a suspect classification.
What's that even mean? And who's doing this? And what's the case?
The case is. They cite here Hirabashi versus United States. I guess it's the. It's probably a case having to do with internment. But possessing an immutable or highly visible trait is one of the criteria. But it's
No, they are not. They're not saying that having a highly visible trait is one of the criteria for being a protected group.
I don't know. Suspect classification.
What suspect classification mean?
That's where they apply intermediate scrutiny. I'm sorry. For example, the suspect classification are basically any classification or groups meeting a series of criteria suggesting they are likely subject of discrimination. So I guess
okay,
it's...
Okay, this is they're not talking about protected groups here. They're talking about specific groups that could be readily discriminated against because of their appearance.
Yeah.
Or actually not because of their appearance. They can be spotted because of their appearance. If we're talking about Japanese internment survivors, we're talking about people who they weren't thrown into internment camps because of their appearance. They were thrown into internment camps because
of their nationality.
Not their nationality. Their nationality was American because of their ethnic background.
Right.
I think what they're saying, and I don't know which justice wrote the – I don't even know the case really or when it was or who wrote the majority opinion or what the majority opinion even was, although I can guess. I think what he's saying is it these particular people are more likely to be discriminated against if shit happens because they're readily picked out of a crowd. But that's not the attribute that makes them a protected class. What makes them a protected class is that people are protected on the basis of their ethnicity, among other things. That's what makes them a protected class.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually only in the context of equal protection.
Equal protection is kind of a fiction. Am I correct on this?
It's all fiction when you look at it.
Beyond the standard legal fictions that we create, it's a fiction. There's no such thing as equal protection, except for like your basic legal rights. But if you're talking about protection to all groups of people being equal, it's not. I'm not as protected as a gay person. I'm simply not. Because a gay person falls into a protected class. They have protections that I don't have. I don't need those protections, but I don't a woman has certain protections. I have certain protections on the basis of my religion, but I don't have certain protections on the basis of my politics. If I start spouting right-wing political shit at work and they don't like it, they could fire me if they wanted. They'd be perfectly within their rights. If it happened to overlap into religion, though, and they fired me, then I would have a case.
Right. Well, I mean, there is what people call the Equal Protection Clause, which is the 14th Amendment.
Sure. But what that's saying is, if I have the right to due process, you have the right to due process. If I have the right, which is later established by an act of Congress, not by an amendment to the Constitution, to be Mirandized when I'm arrested, you have the right under that amendment to be Mirandized under the Miranda Act. If I have the right to a speedy trial, which is guaranteed me in the Constitution, you also have a right to a speedy trial. These are basic rights that everyone shares. Everyone's equally protected in these regards. Everyone's protected from discrimination on the basis of their speech. But if your speech is harmful, like if I get up on a podium and I have a crowd standing there listening to me and I say, "We need to kill that nigger in the White House." And I'm just kidding. I really don't want to do that. Oh, great, all-seeing eye. I think he's really nice. But if I were to say that, if some lunatic were to say that, then he would not have First Amendment protection. He's just advocated an act of violence, and he's inciting people to something bad.
Yeah, there are no incitement is one of the exceptions for sure. Also, you know, yelling fire falsely in a crowded theater or something like that, creating a public disturbance.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because Oliver Wendell Holmes never mentions, like, that the theater's not burning in his hypothetical.
you have to say falsely.
He doesn't say that, though. What if in a crowded theater and it's on fire? Are you supposed to just sit there?
No. That would be protected.
You can yell fire. That's okay.
Yes.
Like
yes.
You're not going to get in trouble.
No. Go for it.
Sure. So if I'm in a theater and then I set the place on fire accidentally because like I'm smoking a joint and my cherry falls off of my joint into my popcorn bag and sets it on fire and then it sets like the person in front of me on fire, I can yell fire, fire.
Yes.
Okay.
Now back to drugs. Do you think weed should be decriminalized or legal?
I think it should be decriminalized.
So it should...
Let me go a little further than that. I think the federal government has no business at all in legislating marijuana. I think that somebody either introduced a measure that would... remove the illegal status from certain strains of marijuana that can be used for medicinal purposes. And the headlines say that it's that these strains are being made legal. I should stress, no, they're not. No, they're not. It means that they're not illegal under federal law. There's a huge difference. States can still render those particular strains illegal because states have the right to do that. So my actual stance is states' rights. If a state wants it to be decrimmed, they should decrim it. If they want it to be legal, or let's just say not illegal, they can legalize it. And if they want it to be medical use only, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it should be up to the states. I think the federal government has absolutely no business in it.
But to be clear, the federal government will have to change its own law with regard to that now for that.
All it has to do is remove marijuana and cannabis products from the scheduled drugs list. That's all.
Yeah. And right now, that you could, the states that have legalized it are actually in violation of federal law, are they not? I mean,
The Obama and Bush administrations would both argue, yes, they are. I would argue, no, they're not, because states' rights, motherfuckers.
There's the supremacy clause of the Constitution that says.
I know, and I think that the supremacy clause doesn't apply here. It's just such a fucking outright silly thing for the federal government to be involved in that the supremacy clause is just fucking irrelevant in this particular instance.
Yeah. I've noticed, though, that, or at least I haven't noticed any, like, raids going on. I remember there were some going on in California, but. But since they legalized and now Colorado and
they did some raids in Colorado.
Oh, they have.
They did a massive series of raids. By they, I mean specifically the Obama administration subordinate Eric Holder led Justice Department.
Wow, because publicly they seem to say that, you know, oh, we're fine, we're not going to do anything, but then
that's actually what the president said, but. What the president said and what Eric Holder does are two completely different things. I think we've seen that a few times when it comes to things like this.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not a White House insider. I think we could posit a couple of explanations. One is Obama and Holder like to play good cop, bad cop, or it's just evolved into that. Another is there's just a wide disconnect between the fucking Justice Department and the rest of the executive branch, particularly Obama.
There should be a separation, right?
No, the Justice Department is part of the executive branch.
But in terms of prosecution, I mean, that should be up to not Obama, but Holder, right?
Yes, that would be correct, yeah, sure.
But in terms of... what is the purpose of enforcing these federal laws in these states? I mean, is it just to...
In this particular instance, which was like... there's been a few other raids, but this was one massive one that shut down a lot of retailers. The Justice Department claim was money laundering.
Money laundering?
Yeah.
I see. So it wasn't had anything to do with the... distribution of marijuana?
Yes, it had everything to do with the distribution of marijuana. People were using their distribution of marijuana licenses to launder money.
And what was the process there? What were they doing?
They were allegedly laundering money for what should we call these people? Let's call them the mob.
So they were taking in money into their business. And then and just giving clean money to various crimes organizations.
Getting their weed from organized crime and selling it. That's money laundering.
I see. They weren't getting it from legit sources.
There are no legit sources.
You're right, because the ones that would be supplying were all illegit at that point. But I mean, at some point there will be an infrastructure of legit sources. It's just that They don't.
Yeah, they'll still be the mob. They'll just be called legit sources.
Right. Do you know what the reason is that weed got so criminalized?
Yeah. Back in the 30s, there was a lot of hysteria, and there was like a kind of a minor league witch hunt. They decided to pick on weed. It was one of those social issues that become popular from time to time. This is like in the Hoover and FDR administrations. There was a guy named Harry J. Anslinger, who was the head of the, I think it was called the Federal Narcotics Bureau back then. Now it's called the DEA. And he was really, really, he had a fucking hard-on for weed for whatever reason. Part of it, I think, was he and the people who believed like him viewed it as fomenting criminality in, what's a good way of putting it, neighborhoods that were, what's a good way of putting it, black. Neighborhoods that were black, yeah. It was a very reductivist line of thought. You know, it's like, well, like, all the cool black people are smoking weed, and, like, some of the uncool black people are doing crime. So obviously the weed smoking, which is done by these fucking blues and jazz musicians, is causing the degenerates in these neighborhoods to do crime. And you know, that was just like, you know, it just didn't make sense.
Wasn't there like kind of a fear that your white daughter would smoke weed and then have sex with a black man?
No, that was cocaine.
Oh. Well, in any case, I think looking at the 60s and all the hippies and stuff like that, I mean, was it was less criminalized during the 60s, wasn't it?
No, it was more criminalized during the 60s, and even very liberal politicians like Nelson Rockefeller, who was governor of New York, would come up with, like, extremely draconian laws. Like, the Rockefeller laws in New York were repealed, like, only a few years ago. And there were dudes who were doing, like, 50 years for selling a pound. Shit, like, just really ridiculous shit. And this is a guy who was, he was a Republican. He was vice president under Ford. But he was a very, very liberal guy. This was not like some right-wing lunatic, except on this one issue.
Well, I've noticed there are some people that are very adamantly anti-weed. Usually it's people who used to be weed smokers themselves.
Yeah, I think that there are people who had bad experiences with weed, and I certainly think that anyone who says weed is good for you is out of his fucking mind. I think the people who will tell you that weed is terrible for you they're also out of their fucking minds. Weed's just weed. It's neither horrible for you nor awesome for you. It's
all about the context in which you use it. I mean, obviously, if you smoke weed 24/7 all the time, that's not a good thing because you just become kind of a deadhead.
Well, you become a good consumer. You will buy a six pack of Pepsi every day and some potato chips.
You'll be a healthy eater.
The problem, well, not a healthy eater.
Right. You'll be a copious eater.
Oh wow, the creamed corn sandwich seems awesome. I think weed is a gateway drug. I think people who say that it's not are delusional. It was certainly a gateway drug for me, although my introduction through cannabis came via hashish, because where I lived at the time, there was no, like, bud as we know it. There was just hash.
Come on, wasn't the real gateway drug alcohol, though?
Oh, I didn't drink at the time.
So you went straight to weed and that was your first drug experience?
No, I mean, I had had, like, beer and wine and shit when I was a kid, and I'd not actually even been drunk.
So that has, by primacy, that's the gateway.
No, because by gateway, usually it's like you don't get turned off of that particular thing. As a teenager, I got actually turned off of alcohol. I really didn't like it or enjoy it again until I was maybe 18. So I only really got drunk like the one time. I guess I was like 15, I think, and I drank an incredible amount of gin and got very, very drunk and very sick. And to this day, I don't drink gin.
Well, so you're saying because it has this kind of psychedelic experience, it's more psychoactive.
I think it's more subtle than that. I think at the time when I was a kid, you would hear so much anti-weed propaganda, like way more than you do. You hear some today, but it was everywhere then. That by the time you finally got around to smoking weed, and you realize, well, this, I don't really feel evil or anything, and I haven't like sacrificed anyone to the dark lord.
I haven't stabbed my girlfriend. You know.
You stabbed your girlfriend?
No, I'm saying I haven't.
Didn't your girlfriend, what a girlfriend, like try to stab you once when she was high on weed?
Oh, yeah. Well, she was one of those people with a mental disorder that I thought I could help with a little hit of some super strong weed in a joint, like straight up. And, yeah.
That didn't work out so good.
No, in fact, she reverted to, like, a primitive with no vocal ability, and she was chasing me around the apartment trying to kill me. So
That's a really extreme example. I've never actually seen anything like this happen from marijuana. Are you sure you didn't, like, dust her as a prank?
I smoked the same weed, and I did not have this reaction. So, I mean, I was fine.
I mean, you know if the weed you've got is dust.
Sometimes it's really strong, though, and it's not. I mean, sometimes it's really good weed.
Sometimes what's really good weed?
Like, the weed that you might think is dusted, it's just because it's good.
Oh, yeah. No, you know if your weed is dusted. It's got a certain smell and taste.
I actually never known if I was or not. I mean,
Nowadays, it's just, it's really like, I don't even think people dust weed anymore. Unless they happen to have some dust and they happen to have some weed, and then they decide, okay, let's mix the two together. But it used to be able to buy dusted weed, and I don't think people do that anymore. I think people will like dust tobacco or tea or something like that and smoke.
It was called the Love Boat, right?
Yeah.
The Love Boat. Anyway, so you got this. But let's go down and talk about now, like, all the different recreational drugs, and you kind of give your recommendation on either if you take them, how you should take them, or never, to, you know, or whatever your recommendations are. So let's start out with heroin.
Well, it's a central nervous system depressant. Use it wisely.
If you are a user, what would be a good frequency of use of heroin? Maybe once a week?
That's kind of dictated by the degree of your dependency.
Well, but you're going to maintain a certain distance of usages to keep that dependency at bay. I mean,
not everybody can.
Well, assuming, I mean, because when I was in college, I had a psychology professor who insisted that heroin is fine as long as you don't try to get off of it.
Well, that's actually correct.
Yeah, he basically just said, look, if you can manage it, he didn't believe in making it that illegal. And he thought that if you just give a certain dosage to people, they'll be fine.
The English principle. That's what they do in the UK.
Anyway, so heroin is that. Now, let's talk about crack.
It's whack. Anything, the thing about crack, first, it's garbage. Back in the 70s, we used to freebase, which is like you're kind of doing the same thing. You're removing the hydrochloride salt from the cocaine hydrochloride and leaving yourself with a free base. It's also a good way to see how pure your coke is. It can be quite eye-opening. And then you would smoke that. Later on, somebody came up with the idea of doing a much cruder version of it with water and baking soda. And a few problems with this. One, it doesn't remove all the impurities, so you've got often a very impure product. And two, it becomes very readily available. Three, it becomes like ludicrously, well, I'm ahead of myself. I'm going to say a lot of what got sold as crack in the later 80s and early 90s had no cocaine component in it whatsoever.
Okay, so, what were people getting high off of then? Some weird chemical or whatever?
Oh, I think some of it was probably procaine that had been based. Some of it was just like garbage mixed together in some Chinaman's bathroom.
Ephedra or something like that?
No. It was something that actually could be smoked. I know that the price went down to a ludicrous degree.
Isn't it such a momentary high, right?
Yeah. Well, anytime you introduce something with that short a half-life that radically into the body, the high will be very short-lived. And we used to laugh, well, I didn't, but people used to laugh at the people who said crack is instantly addictive. If you get actual crack, or even Freebase, which is a much better product, it is instantly addictive. The first time you smoke it, you become addicted to it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You ask any chemist who's not a fucking liar, he'll tell you that.
Now, is that true? Now, we're going to move down a notch to powder cocaine.
You mean cocaine hydrochloride.
Okay. So, what do you... somebody's never tried it, what do you say to them? Don't try it.
It's kind of a garbage drug. The major side effect is you want to do more. It does take, like, you're not going to get addicted to it the first time you snort it. I mean, the first time you sit down and do a whole bunch of it, you have become addicted to it. When you wake up with that cocaine hangover, that's what that is. You're withdrawing from the drug. That's addiction. Well, it's dependence. Addiction is when you suck a dick to get more.
Yeah, like we should come up with some vignettes of like addiction. Like if you're kneeling down in the bus station sucking some stranger's cock.
Addiction is the behavior in which you engage to satisfy your dependency.
So if it's the more bizarre it is, the more you're addicted, or the more off the path that you are. But anyway, so. Cocaine, though, I mean, there are functional cocaine users out there, I assume. I'm not sure. But it's a manageable addiction, would you say?
No, I would not say that.
Oh, so you're saying that people aren't able to do it in, like, a moderate fashion?
If their finances limit them to that, that's – but if they wind up – really liking it and they get a shit ton of money, or they decide they don't mind sucking dicks for the money to get it, they'll do it constantly.
Yeah, once you cross that threshold, forget it. Now, when you get to the coca leaf, I mean, that's a completely different thing. I mean, the coca leaf is people put it under their tongue. I've seen them for sale in Amsterdam. I tried a couple, and I mean, it kind of gives you a little buzz.
It gives you a little buzz, and it would take doing a lot to gain a dependency on it.
Yeah. So the natural form. Now we get down to the psychedelics. Now, would you recommend anyone take the mushrooms?
Sure, but I would submit that the doses in which psilocybin mushrooms are available, like, are just simply not enough to get it done.
Now, okay,
I'm speaking as someone who lived in near coastal Georgia in the mid-70s, like 74, thereabouts, and had ready access to as much psychedelic mushrooms as I wanted. We're talking like one person taking a dose that would amount to hundreds. Just saying.
So that must have.
I'm just saying, your 10 grams of mushrooms, I sneer at it. It's not really like you're not getting an experience.
So you must have been like eating those things on a daily basis.
No, we would do them like a couple times a week.
Wow. But so it's an interesting way to just walk around the world like on that stuff. You really feel like some kind of alien from another planet. But now when you took that and interacted, were you able to not let anyone know that you were on that stuff?
Well, you would have enough of your wits about you. Well, short answer is yes, but. Yes, but if you could go out, then you would be able to mask what you were doing. But if you were doing serious doses, which we would all reach at some point, you had to, like, stay in an enclosed environment with two other people. You couldn't, like, go out. I remember, like, I was on a 3-day mushroom trip once with a couple of friends of mine and other people who would drop in and out, like, and trip with us for, like, 5 or 6 hours here and there. But we were on a 3-day, almost 4-day long extended mushroom trip, and at one point we actually had to go to the store to buy food and beer, and that was quite the adventure.
Yeah, that can be, like, you know what I'm saying about being an alien, and on another, you're, like, visiting from Planet Mushroom.
Yeah.
or Planet Zorg. But when you go in there, you everyone's face and just everything like that, and then forget about looking in the mirror. I think that's just something you probably shouldn't do. What do you think about?
That's fine. You know, you'll certainly notice blemishes.
Oh yeah, don't pick at your face.
Yeah, don't do that.
You end up like
don't peel all the skin off your face. That's bad. Like that human poltergeist.
Yes, and it can get like that. Like you'll start trying to pop a zit that's not there. You know, you have hallucinatory blemishes sometimes. So yeah, watch out with that. But that can be sometimes a shocker to some people and cause a bad trip to look in the mirror.
I've heard, but it never happened to me. So
well, you're Zork. You know, you can handle this stuff. Now, has there ever been a moment in this time that you've taken mushrooms where you were like, shit, I don't think I can handle this?
Well, there was a moment in time where a friend of mine and I, 2.5 days into an extended mushroom trip, were lying on the floor eating a frozen pizza that we had festooned with mushrooms, and we're, like, playing with the mushrooms and babbling about how the band Blood Rock had just descended through the ceiling and were getting ready to play a set and that we were just never going to come down from our trip.
In, like, a freaky way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big fear, you know. You have to, like, if you're really having a bad moment in one of these trips, is just to let yourself know that this will end. This will wear off. Because, like, sometimes you get this feeling that it's never going to wear off, or, like, somehow that this thought that you're having of insanity will never leave your mind. So that's, I think, what can really make it a bad scene. If you keep in perspective that it's going to be over in a few hours, whatever you're thinking right now. So, but, you know, because they had a lot of problems with people in Amsterdam coming over there and taking a lot of those things and just being complete idiots. So, and that's why they outlaw them, you know, and I can understand. I mean, society, usually people can't function on those things. I mean, I think only an elite certain amount of people should take mushrooms. What is your feeling? Or you think anyone could, except maybe people with mental illness, can benefit from mushrooms?
I think that you're fine taking mushrooms. They're not going to make you crazy.
Now, what about acid, comparatively? I mean, is it any worse or better?
Oh, acid's the best thing ever.
If you get real acid.
Yeah, yeah. LSD, if you get actual LSD-25, it's awesome. It's great stuff.
So that's why Timothy Leary was so into that shit, huh?
No. He overdid it and became crazy. He became a crazy person.
So it has that potential.
All those guys who were in the original Harvard group of LSD experimenters became crazy people. Richard Alpert, who was also in the psych department at Harvard with Leary, who conducted the prison experiments with Leary. Those experiments were like, they wound up dropping all pretense of science. They started dropping acid with the inmates that they had picked for this program. Andrew Weil was also part of this group. All of those people, like Richard Alpert, like went to India and he came back and he said, "I'm no longer Richard Alpert. I'm Baba Ram Das." And it's like, dude, do you know how crazy you are? You're wearing a long dress and you're calling yourself by a funny name.
Do you realize
how fucking silly you look? You're not a fucking Hindu. You can't be a fucking Hindu.
Dude, you gotta love it, man. That's like a total gimmick change, you know, in like pro wrestling. So he just came up and it was an Indian guy. That's great.
Yeah, he's like Ram Das, and his father, you know, because he's like a blue blood Connecticut guy. His father constantly referred to him as Ram Das.
Oh, we gotta get Ram Das on here, man. Is he still around, or what's his deal?
I have no idea.
Ram Das, that's beautiful. That's a good movie title. So this guy, so acid can lead to some crazy notions and people wigging out and do something like that. And if you don't have a strong personality in place, then probably shouldn't take it. But how often? I mean, people, there used to be that theory that if you took a certain amount of hits, then you were legally insane or something.
That's made up.
Okay, that's made up. So you don't think that there's anything really like damaging that this stuff can do to somebody's brain, except that unless they already have a problem.
I don't think it's going to damage your brain. It might. I guess there's a process a possibility that your process might get all fucked up.
Yeah, but I mean, for you, you found it like kind of just a neat sort of mental space to dip into and look at things differently, and you took it more just as an amusement. Am I right? Or
I took it pretty seriously.
Right. I mean, so you even looked at it in a shamanic way.
Yes, sometimes.
Like that there was some kind of spiritual significance to the experience and that you were seeing some God, maybe.
You could say that, yeah.
I mean, would you say that it has made you more or less religious?
I guess more.
Right. And that's, to me, it's like there's a huge spiritual component to drugs that people, especially psychedelics, that people kind of, you know, looks like they ignore, I mean, or they shift to something else. They treat it recreationally. It's not really a recreational thing.
No.
Although you can take it at a party sometimes and be pretty okay and talk to a lot of girls even more than you could before. It gives you kind of a weird macking ability sometimes. Have you noticed that?
Yes. I definitely noticed that.
Especially at the end of the trip. Like, something about that moment, that, like, mental space, you just very, I guess you just don't give a fuck, so you, but, anyway, so we'll go down now to marijuana. Marijuana, how often should somebody smoke marijuana, as opposed to, or should they ever, if they never have?
Honestly, I think it's kind of a waste of time.
I see, so no matter what you do when you're high, it's a waste.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I still smoke it from time to time, but
it spawned a lot of good music, hasn't it? Also, I mean, the psychedelics. I mean, Hendrix, the Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely. But the thing is, like, it's hard to tell where the music ends and the drugs begin when it comes to psychedelia and music. I play a fair amount of what one could call psychedelic music. And I don't really take a whole lot of psychedelics now. Although, I will say I smoked salvia for the first time a couple weeks ago.
But now, that's kind of like a whippet, isn't it? Because I've tried that. If it's a weird fucking momentary craziness, right?
Well, it's a full-blown trip. It just doesn't last that long.
Okay, but I didn't find it to be Yeah, very long at all. How long did you find it to be?
I was told that my experience lasted about 2 to 5 minutes. Well, my two experiences. I did it twice in the same day.
I found it a little bit unpleasant, to be honest. But
I totally liked it.
It's a weird fucking feeling. Tell us about it. What does it do to you, and what are the effects that you got off of it?
Well, I did it with my girlfriend kind of supervising me because she had done it before.
It's legal, right?
It's legal in this particular state, yes.
Okay.
It's illegal in a lot of states. So I read about how to do it and everything, and this is all kind of stupid. I measured out because I had gotten like a gram of 40X, and I measured out 4/20 of a gram for us, like so 2/20 a piece. And I figured we'll each start with a 20th, and then if that doesn't work, we'll, you know, take another 20th. Because I had read, you know, like 1/20 for 40X is the optimal dose. You really don't want to take much more than that. Anyway, that's all made up. It's like just pack the fucking pipe and smoke it. But I didn't know that at the time. So I smoke a 20th, and within about 20 seconds, I started, you know, my eyelids started drooping, and I started seeing, like, this odd landscape, and I was, like, in this different place, and things were very green, like Technicolor green and cartoonish, and there was, like, and there's always apparently a constant in this thing is there's like, another presence there, and there were elves of some sort. And anyway, then I came out of it and talked to my girlfriend about it, and then I did some more. I did the other dose, which hit me harder, and I was lying back on the bed, and I was seeing these things. I realized that the other presence, the other omnipotent presence, was actually me, and I was saying things. This is like my girlfriend telling me. I was saying things like, "Puny humans, ha ha ha! I piss on you," and I said, "Your planet is completely fucked. You have no fucking idea. Your planet is totally, totally fucked." And then I looked off in the other direction and said, "You know." and this goes on for a few minutes, and then I kind of came out of it. My girlfriend then smoked two hits and got a very, very mild buzz off of it. And it turned out, we looked this up later, because she was taking Prilosec, it didn't work.
Oh, it cuts it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when you took it, basically you manifested the Zork persona, the Planet Eater, probably.
It seems that way, yes.
Who, I mean, you presumably Zork comes from a much larger planet. So maybe it's populated by elves?
I don't think that was home base.
I see. It's just another planet.
It'd be like if my who's my competition?
Galactus.
Yeah, Galactus. I piss on him. it's like, you know, where did Galactus come from? I doubt that there were elves on his planet either. Although there might have been. He's a pussy.
You're gonna piss down his throat next time you see him. I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna rape Galactus.
So the movies and stuff, anything on the horizon that you're looking forward to or that you've seen, you can give them.
Well, let's see. What have I seen? I watched Transcendence the other night. I'm not really sure what I think about that movie.
Johnny Depp. I heard it got shitty-ass reviews. I didn't see it. But
yeah. Basically, what happens is this guy is dying, and he gets downloaded into a computer program.
People have been talking about that shit for years.
Well, William Gibson talks about it in the book Neuromancer, which was written back in the mid-80s. There's a character in that book called the Dixie Flatline, and he's been dead for several years. His personality only exists on a floppy, which is hilarious. Like, you can put a whole human being on a 1.44 megabyte floppy.
Hey, man, suspension of disbelief. But now you're saying that you wouldn't recommend that movie? You don't know. You're just kind of like, whatever.
It's you watch it. I mean, it's entertaining enough. I'm a big fan of Snowpiercer as far as the new movies go, but I think I've mentioned that.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out this week, so I'll talk to you about that next week. But the new movies that are out there, I mean, anything out there that you think might be good? I heard Guardians is pretty good. What?
I've heard Guardians is great.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that's like kind of it's a more obscure Marvel title. I remember when...
No one's ever heard of it.
No. I used to buy the comics when Guardians first came out. This is back in maybe 1969 or 70. But I don't know if any of those characters are still in Guardians. But I found it interesting at the time. But, you know, I was 14.
It was... it had many different incarnations, and they've sort of picked out all of the best parts. And they seem to have done a good job with it and made it an entertaining movie. I think they're marketing it like the new Star Wars because I think it's gotten that kind of popularity right now.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, it's weird. It was, I think, a little bit of a gamble for Marvel.
Big time.
But I think they had to go in a different direction. They couldn't really – there's only so many places you can go with constantly rebooting Spider-Man. And having, like, let's have all the shitty Spider-Man villains.
Well, you know why? You know what's happened with Spider-Man? Sony owns the rights, and they're required every 5 years to come out with a movie, or they lose the right. So that's why they've been coming out with shitty Spider-Man movies for years.
But they rebooted the series.
Still, it's still under Sony, though. Marvel has nothing to do with it.
No, I knew that, but They didn't just continue making sequels. They did an actual reboot, which, I mean, that's fair. It's like the comics themselves do reboots.
But the reboot sucked, I thought.
I haven't seen the second movie in the rebooted series. I've seen the first one, and I thought it sucked. Although I think Garfield is a better Peter Parker / Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
Yes. He does a better job, and that third Spider-Man was horrible that Tobey Maguire did.
I'm not so sure about the wisdom of having Gwen Stacy be the love interest, though, because it's like the whole Gwen Stacy thing. I mean, unless there's comic reboots that I'm not aware of, but the whole Gwen Stacy thing goes back to the original run. She was his first girlfriend, and then she got killed by Hobgoblin, I think, either Hobgoblin or Green Goblin. And then a few years later, she came back as a clone, and Spider-Man was, like, very interested, but then he realized, no, she's just a clone. And, you know, we never saw her again. But you bring, if you introduce Gwen Stacy into it, then you have to, like, you kind of have to reboot Flash Thompson and all of this shit, because Flash Thompson died in Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah, Flash Thompson, if he were alive, would be my age.
I think you are Flash Thompson, buddy.
It's possible, except I didn't die.
That's a great name, by the way. I would take that name.
Flash Thompson, I think, is one of the better supporting character names. But isn't there there's an Ant-Man movie coming out.
It's overload.
It's what? It's too much?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're pushing it.
And it's not like I wasn't a fan of Ant-Man, but he's like a weird character. There's been a few incarnations of Ant-Man. There's been different people who were Ant-Man. And I don't think that Henry Pym is Ant-Man in this incarnation. I'm not sure. And then Ant-Man became Giant-Man, and then Giant-Man became Goliath. And then And then Goliath became Yellow Jacket, I think. And the whole thing got very, very weird. And also, it's like, what does Ant-Man do? What's his power? Which takes you back to the Saturday Night Live skit where Garrett Morris comes into the party, the superhero party, and he's Ant-Man. And Flash and somebody else are going, who are you? And he goes, I'm Ant-Man. You guys don't remember me? And they're like, clue us in. What's your power again? And he goes, I shrink down to the size of an ant, but I retain the strength of a human. And then Dan Aykroyd playing Flash goes, hey, check this guy out. His power is he's got the strength of a human.
That was one of the best skits of all time.
The Hulk comes out played by Belushi, and he's like, someone better tell the Invisible Girl next time she sits on the toilet not to use her powers. I think Marvel is coming out with, I think they're coming out with a Doctor Strange movie.
Yes.
And there's been a Doctor Strange movie before. I have it somewhere, in some queue somewhere.
Yeah, oh, it's a completely horrible B movie, yeah. And then there was a Captain America one kind of like that. I think it was done by...
There were a few Captain America ones. Wasn't Dolph Lundgren Captain America at one point?
No, he was the Punisher.
Oh.
Maybe. Definitely was one Punisher. One of those movies was Dolph Lundgren.
He's in Captain America, too. Let's not forget that the Human Torch became Captain America.
You got to check out X-Men Future Past. That's pretty damn good with the new X-Men. It's because they combine. I don't know if you saw First Class.
No, I didn't.
But those are very good. I mean, that movie was great. So, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to make them into good movies, and so I guess it's okay. I mean, it's just kind of crazy, just so many of them. But it makes money each time. I mean, I haven't heard of one really flopping, have you?
No. Captain America was played by Dolph Lundgren in a movie made in 1990. let's see if he was also the Punisher. I think he might have been.
He's getting some recent work in the Expendable movies, which I tried to look at one of them. And
yeah,
I just,
he was the
horrible.
Punisher in 1989. He was Captain America in 1990. I think that The Punisher with Thomas Jane was a very good movie.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Didn't they just do another one?
Another one a couple years later with, I think, Ray Stevenson in the role. It wasn't a reboot. It was kind of a sequel to the first one, but it was just with a different guy.
They did a new Judge Dredd too, and I heard.
It's pretty good.
It's better than the original with Stallone, I heard.
It's totally better.
That's cool. And you didn't see the new RoboCop yet, have you?
No, I don't think I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna pass on that one.
You can't beat the first one. It's such a great movie. But
anyone who tries to make a remake of RoboCop doesn't understand the movie. It's a social satire.
I mean, I guess you could make it just like a social satire, but they didn't. They made it into like a...
It's just an action movie, right?
Yeah, but it actually has a better action story than the satire of the original. The original one had a very thin plot. This had a more intricate plot.
Yeah.
And they made it into something that you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But you're right. I mean, as a social satire, I mean, they completely lost they lost that whole thing from that. When you look at all these stupid super, you look at DC though, they're fucking not really catching up to this. They're getting killed.
The last Batman series did very, very well. Man of Steel, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's a good movie, but just like it doesn't really stand up on its own. It's only really good kind of as a lead-in to Justice League and to Superman versus Batman.
Well, yeah, it's a great intro. It sets up the universe, but maybe not the best movie. But at the same time, you know, Superman's a very one-dimensional character. It's hard to do a good movie with him.
Yeah, it really is. I think they might be going in the right direction with Superman versus Batman, which is obviously lifted from, like, the tail end of Dark Knight Returns.
Sounds like a mismatch to me, but I guess Batman's so smart.
No, in Dark Knight Returns, Batman was wearing a suit of armor that was plugged into the Gotham power grid, and he also had he had kryptonite.
Of course, yeah. So he's kind of like a heel in that. Was he playing the heel?
Not exactly. Actually, Superman's kind of the bad guy in Dark Knight Returns.
Why is that? Is he just, like, kind of corrupt?
Because he works for the government, and the government is like this shadow government. It's like the president looks like Reagan, but he's been replaced by a Soviet robot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Superman works directly for him, and people don't even – it's been so long since he made an actual public appearance that people don't even believe in him anymore.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. That's a cool plot. I wonder if they're going to use that in the movie.
Use bits and pieces of it. Also, in the book, in the climactic bit, Batman is aided by Green Arrow, it's hinted that he was a political subversive and that Superman was sent after him by the government and he wouldn't cooperate with Superman, so Superman took one of his arms.
Whoa. So Superman is now Superman versus Batman is probably leading into a Justice League thing.
Yeah, it's leading into Justice League. Yeah, and there's also going to be an Aquaman movie leading into Justice League, and a Wonder Woman movie, I think, with Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a disappointment, a letdown from Linda Carter, but I guess. There's not many women like Linda Carter out there.
No, there are not very many women like Linda Carter. She's still pretty cute, by the way. If you want to come over later, Linda, feel free.
She looks great. She could still put on that suit and come over.
I'll give you the usual.
Yeah. Don't come over in the suit. You'll draw too much attention. Put it on when you get in.
What I have to say about her, she gives, like, the best old-fashioned out there.
What's the old-fashioned?
You don't know what an old-fashioned is?
No.
An old-fashioned is a euphemism for a hand job.
Christ, I haven't received a hand job since high school. But,
really?
Yeah, you're a fan of...
My favorite thing is to get a hand job.
Oh, my God. So what are you, you're like a fetish hand guy? I know you like feet.
That's not a fetish.
What about a hand job with the feet?
You mean that's a foot job?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the aesthetics of a shapely female foot and the attendant ankle. Nice feet are a must for me. Like, I won't fuck a girl unless she has nice feet.
No Fred Flintstone feet for you.
No. Like, definitely not Fred Flintstone feet. I only fuck
Wilma feet. Wilma. Think Wilma.
Yeah. I only fuck girls with pretty feet and high arches.
What about pigeon toes?
Pigeon toes has nothing to do with their feet. That's a hip disorder.
So that's okay.
No, like I won't fuck women who walk with their toes pointed inward. That's silly.
okay.
Yeah, it's funny because my younger cat is pigeon-toed, but she's hilarious when she runs. It looks like she's kind of half levitating because of that, and it doesn't seem to bother her. So, like, I had her at the vet not that long ago, and they didn't even remark on it. So. I'm sure she'll be fine. It doesn't seem to cause her any pain whatsoever. She's, like, totally nimble like any other cat, and it just makes – she looks more like a cartoon when she runs than other cats do.
Cats, that's good. So in general, we have these movies coming out. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, anything on the horizon that's really, like, expected to be great. I mean, it's in terms of DC, but we'll see if this Aquaman thing or whatever.
Jason Momoa, I believe, is going to be playing Aquaman.
Cool. And I would love to see them, Hulk versus Superman at some point. But
that would be a crossover.
But it's worth it. It's money.
Yeah, I never really liked. They did do like a Hulk versus Superman crossover, didn't they? At some point
in the comic,
it was not my favorite crossover. I was kind of a fan of the Batman Grendel crossover.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some cool crossovers.
There's a Batman-Judge Dredd crossover, too.
Yeah, there's just, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, I think they did the Freddy vs. Jason movie. And then, the Alien vs. Predator, that's been a movie.
That sucks, but the graphic novel Alien vs. Predator was very good.
Oh, it was. So they didn't adhere to that. That's too bad.
Nothing at all like it, except there's aliens and predators.
Well, I hear The Walking Dead is good in comic form, but the show I found really shit. But have you never checked that out, have you?
What, Walking Dead?
Yeah.
The comic book?
Or the either.
I've watched the series. I kind of stopped watching it because it became soap opera. Dark Horse... back in the late 80s, early 90s, did a series called Dead World, which I think is, like, the best zombie comic book ever.
Yeah, because in Walking Dead, I heard good things about it, but it's different. The show, you're right, it's become very... I stopped watching it. It became boring.
Also,
but anyway...
Dead World introduced the concept of a smart zombie.
Who did?
Dead World.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, what's really good is that zombie like teen flick. I forget what it was called.
I've heard that this is good. I haven't seen it.
Damn good. But yeah, it's where, the guy, basically comes back to being a human from a zombie. But anyway, so there's some good stuff, but we'll be talking next week. Possibly, I wanted to get into the whole like gimmicks discussion, so maybe we'll hold that for next week if you can. Basically, just steroids, HGH, all that crap. Some have argued that steroids are okay as long as you don't try to get off them.
There's people who cycle. There's a few ways to do steroids. A lot of people cycle them, and I'll tell you what happens. Most people start off cycling them, like you go on for a while, then you go off for a while, then you go on for a while, go off for a while. Most people, after a while, just decide to stay on.
Yeah, and then people get into big problems when they get off it because they have testosterone deficiency, right? I mean, that can happen.
No, it's happened to me. I mean, I'm
so I know that, like, for example, in UFC, there was a bunch of people that had been on it, and because they were testing, they had to go off it, but then they had to do testosterone replacement therapy, which essentially was just to go back on it. Is that correct?
Yeah, but TRT, it just takes you to normal physiological levels. Generally, when we're talking about people taking testosterone for athletic purposes, they're taking super physiological levels.
But now they've even banned the TRT.
Which is that's kind of stupid.
I know.
And also, if you're taking true TRT, you can't really test for it. Because the way they test for testosterone is they test for a ratio of testosterone to epitestosterone. If it's like within a certain range, then you're good. And that's certainly, they give you leeway on the range. Like Olympic testing, they give you a 6-to-1 ratio, which is like well beyond, they allow performance enhancement is what I'm saying. But if you're like 1-to-1, which is about what TRT would give you, that's certainly not going to show up as an anomaly on a test.
Well, but for some reason they got paranoid and they figured people were going to abuse that too.
Yeah, so they can say they ban it, but they're not really banning it because you can't test TRT.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. If it's done correctly, but the problem is that sometimes they get that shot, like, and then all of a sudden they get hit with the test, like right at like the day of. So wouldn't that maybe throw off the thing, or it would?
No, not really. Not if your TRT is administered correctly. No, it won't.
Okay, I see. But and there probably is a temptation to go a little bit above. You know, I mean,
I know a few people who are on basic TRT and they're totally happy with it. Most of the guys I know who are on TRT also take extra physiological doses in addition to the TRT.
Right. And then the people who try to get off of it. Oh, we could talk briefly about Robin Williams. I mean, what is your feeling on his demise?
He it's hard to say because I didn't know the guy, so I don't know what was up with him. I mean, they said he struggled with depression. I don't know what that means exactly. I know he had drug problems in the past.
He did a lot of coke, and then he got off of it, and he realized that life is pretty boring without coke.
I don't know if you ever went back on coke, but doing coke long term, I speak from experience here, can totally fuck up your dopamine system.
So you will be depressed for a little while.
You might be depressed forever.
that sucks.
Robin Williams also apparently had been diagnosed with Parkinson's. I don't know if any of this had any bearing on anything. You know, he had financial problems. It's really hard to say. You know, even if I knew him, it's unlikely that I'd be able to reach any conclusion as to why he killed himself.
Well, you can never, I mean, unless you've been suicidal yourself, it's very hard to conceive of any reason that someone might do that.
I think lots of people have been suicidal. I've been suicidal before, but, you know.
You have?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if I could ever empathize to the point with someone where I would know their reasons for being suicidal.
Would you declare that moment when you were suicidal, you were temporarily insane?
Maybe. I don't know. I never thought about it that much.
Okay. Well, that's something we'll have to delve into at another show. But so, Zork, I guess we can stop here unless there's anything particular that you want to bring up.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We are here live on Blog Talk Radio from 3 p.m. to around 4:30, 4, you know, whatever. So, check us out, and we're also on iTunes. So, Zorg, you have a good week, man, and hopefully we can talk next week.
Okay, bye, kids.
Okay, take care, guys. Have a good one.
You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Strictly rhythm, he doesn't wanna make it cry or sing. up under the lights, playing